Okay, it's 10:09 a.m. on Monday, May the 27th, 2019. This file's probably going to be a little bit short because I had to start. There's a guy with a leaf blower on the sidewalk right there by the corner, so I didn't turn it on until I got by him a little bit. There comes a couple I saw the other day. Morning. They're on the same loop, they're just going the opposite direction, I guess. I saw them when I came out of the house. They're on a shorter loop because I go east before I turn west, and they were coming straight down my street, so probably just a mile, mile and a half. So the last couple of days have been, I don't know how to describe them. Heavy lifting, I guess. J.C. Hutchins, who some of you may remember from Seventh Son on the old audiobook days, put a question about Scrivener. About, is it worth it? And a couple of people said, yeah, it's really worth it. It's like $45 whole. And there are a few people like me who said, it's just too many things. One guy had the experience that I did where he'd filled out all the cards and hadn't written the book. So you know who everybody was, what the setting was, and all of that, and hadn't written the book. And that guy had written his outline in it and then couldn't figure out how to export it. So, I thought, okay, well, I'm having trouble with this book, with Cape Grace. And one of the problems is that I can't see it. Because I wrote it in so many different pieces, I can't see the story. And I spent 2 weeks, maybe three, well, 2 weeks, taking out the week I spent in L.A., because in L.A. I didn't do anything on it. Burbank. So I spent that time trying to put it into a linear format that I could read and understand and see what the story was and get a feel for what was missing, and it still had a wickedly difficult time. Even with the navigator panel and all the rest of it, because I couldn't really see what was happening and how it was unfolding. And there was, what I did see was that the story was, after I stripped out all the stuff that wasn't part of this story, the story was really flat. There was very little motivation for anybody to be doing anything other than Sarah getting older and getting closer and closer to the point where she's going to be kicked off the planet. So one of the storylines is her coming to grips with growing up and having to face, for lack of a better term, a deportation. And Otto's story of losing his wife and becoming a single parent to a young woman who started showing her shaman's gift almost as soon as she could walk, almost as soon as she could talk. And so his ongoing dread that he was going to lose her to outer space, to being thrown off the planet, and with her loss, finally losing the last piece of his much beloved late wife. So that part of the story is okay. I like the pieces that are there, but it's missing. It's missing the counterpoint. It's missing the stuff that goes on. Behind the scenes, it's missing. In Cape Gray, in South Coast, we had the line that was the company and how Jimmy was struggling to figure out what to do with these, to him, unreasonable demands to produce more fish in the same area, which ultimately forced him into going to the other areas and opening up new fisheries and a bunch of other stuff that followed the theme of that's the way we've always done it and what happens when you stop. And then Otto's story about wanting to be a fisherman but discovering that it really wasn't optional. He really couldn't not be the shaman because, well, to begin with, his father didn't let him train the skills that he needed to become a fisherman, and that he discovered that his gift was going to come along whether he wanted it or to or not. Sort of like puberty. It's gonna come whether you want it or not. There are just things in your life that will happen regardless of whether you want them to. And how was he going to cope with that? And he coped with it by becoming a shaman, by becoming a little strange, by embracing his gift. And having his father go through a similar change at about the same time was, you know, one of the catalysts that really pushed him into accepting the reality of being a shaman. But that counterpoint is not in Cape Grace. I tried to put it in and I couldn't because it didn't fit. It's actually a different story. And so when I anyway, to go back to Scrivener, I took like most of one day, it was like 6 or 7 hours, and worked through step by step the Scrivener tutorial and worked on it and worked on it and worked on it. Finally got through to the end of it. It's like, it's huge. It took me forever. But it began to make a little more sense to me. And so I imported the last edition, the last iteration of Cape Grace, and started putting the pieces in, breaking the long file up into individual scenes, grouping the scenes into chapters. Actually broke the chapters, and then any chapter that had more than one scene in it, I broke that. And I was able to do things like, okay, I need to look at this chapter later, so I flagged it using the chapter, the icon, so I knew it was something I needed to look at. And then there was a piece that I'm not sure actually has to be there, so I gave that a different icon. And there's a piece that I haven't written, and I'm not sure I need to, so I gave that another icon. And so I was able to go back through and get a feel for the pieces of the story that were there. And there were several chapters that didn't have dates on them because I didn't know where they occurred in the timeline. And now I'm going back through it and thinking, okay, most of this early stuff that I really liked, because it really showed the problem that Otto had faced early on and gave some insight into why he was really in trouble. I'm not sure they all have to be there. I think some of them need to be there. There's a couple of them that I know have to stay, but there's a lot of stuff that happens early in really short chapters that I'm not convinced really need to stay. So this book may be short. Right now, at one point I had it carved down to 62,000 words. It's back up to 67, almost 68,000 now, and I still have more to go. But I'm really looking at it hard and trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I do need to do here? What is the answer to this conundrum? And then I started, I've joined a kind of an online writer's book club. And in June, we're going to be talking about Robert McKee. I think it's Robert, might be Richard. It's an R name, McKee. Now, the title of the book is Story. And it's a book about screenwriting, but it's a book about storytelling and his dissatisfaction. He's an old-time screenwriter, been around since the Coen brothers filmed Christ on the Cross, or something. I don't know. He's been around a long time. He knows. He's got his history of film is paraded regularly, and it's good stuff. It is dense. It is difficult reading. I can only read a little of it at a time because there's just so much in it. I need to read a little and let it sit a little, and then read a little, sit a little. Read, read, read. Read a little bit, sit a little more. And a lot of it is not new. It's not things that I have heard before. Although he has a different breakdown of genre. He has an interesting breakdown of genre that goes back to the early days of comedy and tragedy. And open and closed stories. And he has a story triangle that talks about the arc plot, which is the one that most people think of when they think of plot. But there's also a mini plot. And there's an anti-plot, which all introduce flavors. And plot appears somewhere, generally clustered toward one peak or the other, but somewhere in the middle of this equilateral triangle. So that's an interesting idea. And then genre. His take on genre is fascinating, because it's not the one I would have thought of. So it's given me some stuff to think about in terms of, okay, yeah, he does eventually get around to, you know, science fiction as a genre, romance as a genre. But he talks about avoiding cliches and satisfying tropes, which is like, okay, yeah, well, we've got to do that. And that the one piece that made me feel really good was that the people who can look at the existing genre and find the stories that aren't there yet and write those is the person to watch. It's the person whose stories are going to stand out. Assuming basic levels of craft are recognized and approved of, and even if they're not top shelf craft, the mere fact that it is a different kind of story will leave readers walking away feeling, oh, that was good. I like that story. And he talked about up endings and down endings. And I see where a lot of the Burnside must be burned comes from, because that down ending wasn't satisfying. It was a down ending. He, you know, Ishmael won in the end. He didn't get kicked off the ship as I expected, because he was supposed to have been kicked off the ship at that point and then find his way again. But Burnside was one of those threads that people just didn't forgive. And likewise, the end of Ownershare, which I still believe, I know there are people who still argue with me, but I still believe that's the right ending. Had to be. If not that exact one, then one that was so similar to it that everybody would have been pissed at that one instead, and it still would have been, unfortunately, necessary. In order for me to take Ishmael to the next step, which really, you know, I needed to get him out of his comfort zone and into some place where he didn't have any kind of instinctive ability to find the answers, any kind of outsider's perspective to bring to bear to problems that people doing it every day found intractable. And so I really had to break him out of that. And all of the endings that everybody wanted for Ownershare would not have accomplished that. Now, the only one that might have done it was if Greta had come back, get him to Dear John, told him to grow up, and left. But it didn't have the same... trauma. It didn't have the same impact. It didn't have the same juice that random, semi-random, sort of random, the opportunity for Ishmael to blame himself . Sure, he would have regretted it, but he didn't. He wouldn't have blamed himself for it as much as he had to accept responsibility for what happened in Greenfields. So, yeah. So anyway, McKee's story, he's making me feel really good. But he's also underlining some things that I think I've been missing, which explains why in the last 2 days I've written 7,000 words back into the story. And I like the new words. I like where they're going. I like what the story is. I like the way they integrate. I'm really pleased with how the story is unfolding much more organically now. Much less forced. Much less, oh yeah, well, the company's going to do this because the company's going to do this. No. There's a reason. I needed a reason, and I found the reason. I know what the reason is now. And I just need to get the reason in there, and I think that's going to fill out this storyline nicely. So anyway, here I am. I must have been humping right along, because I'm breathless. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.